Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this 23rd Sunday in Ordinary Time. I'm Barbara Little, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey. And today we will hear and discuss the Gospel from St. Matthew and also talk with Bishop about Hurricane Harvey. Please stay with us and we will be right back.
Living on the coast at the height of hurricane season, we are most sensitive to the needs of those who have suffered from natural disasters and are keenly aware that there may well be even more suffering in the future. Devastation from Hurricane Harvey is abundantly visible along much of the Gulf Coast, which still bears the scars of previous storms. This is where Catholic Relief Services comes in. The Diocese of Corpus Christi will conduct a special collection this coming weekend, September 16th and 17th, to aid in disaster relief. Catholic Relief Services provides assistance solely on the basis of need. This weekend, Catholics will be asked to give generously in their parishes. Due to the recent impact of Hurricane Harvey, 100% of this year's disaster relief collection in the Diocese of Corpus Christi will be utilized to help victims of Hurricane Harvey here in the Coastal Bend.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, good morning, Bishop, and it's nice to see you this morning.
Well, thank you. It's good to be here.
Yes, yes. And, you know, we haven't been able to have our normal programming the past couple of weeks because of the hurricane, so it's wonderful to see you safe.
Lack of power, and I think we may have used some a recording from the past, but anyway, it's good to be back and be able to continue being present in the community and to greet everyone this morning.
Yes. Exactly. Well, we are going to listen to the Gospel from St. Matthew, so if we can prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have won over your brother. If he does not listen, take one or two others with you, so that every fact may be established on the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell the church. If he refuses to listen even to the church, then treat him as you would a Gentile or a tax collector. Amen, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, amen, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything for which they are to pray, it shall be granted them by my heavenly Father. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this gospel is definitely talking about forgiveness, about your brother and how you can continue to do that and the different ways to do it if you're not successful the first time.
Right. I think we have a couple of Sundays where we're going to be focusing on forgiveness. And of course, you know, I think in the present situation with the hurricane and the disaster that we've faced, it makes us look at things differently. And we'll talk about that in the second segment. But it certainly does bring about really our humanity. And when we're talking about our sins and forgiveness, it really brings out our humanity, that what is a sin, you know, and we live in a society that really is trying to eradicate any kind of moral behavior, any kind of moral norms, which then opens it up to kind of a free reign of life, which is then going to not only offend people, but offend people to the point that people don't even care. I don't care. There's no relationship. I think a lot of this, when you think about it, in terms of forgiveness or trying to win your brother over, is that you're trying to build relationships. This is why Jesus came, to bring us the relationship that is in God, the Trinitarian relationship of Father, Son, and Spirit, to earth to show us that as God lives in a community of persons, three distinct persons in one, that we too can, with that same pure love that God has within himself, that we can, in our human way, establish that. The deterrent to that kind of love and unity and communion is our sin. In other words, where our own pride takes over, where we see not the beauty of the other person first or of God first, we see ourselves and we get locked into our own patterns and serve ourselves first. So this is what Jesus is pointing out in the gospel today. If your brother sins against you, go tell him. He didn't say go and beat him up. You know, so in other words, if you do that, then you're focused on yourself again. If somebody's sin hurts me, then my first obligation is not to go and retaliate, mm-hmm. right. because that's pride. Mm-hmm. But my first obligation is to go tell him. Mm-hmm. For what? So that he can or she can reform, that they can change their way and find the beauty of new life. It's all about trying to help one another, assist one another.
And if we retaliate, wouldn't that be sin begetting sin?
Right, sure. That's just the cycle. I mean, it's the continual cycle you can't get out of. So Jesus' instruction is go tell your brother out of mm-hmm. kindness, out of charity, etc. And it's between you and him. So mm-hmm. assist one another with their sins. When you look at it in the terms of a family, you know, a husband would tell his wife or his wife would tell the husband because they love each other. They want to see them grow and become better. So he continues, if he listens to you, then you've won your brother over. So if we can do that, win our brother over in the midst of that, then done, and you might say unity and reconciliation is established. However, there's the continuing sin of the hardness of heart where somebody says, I'm not going to listen to you. I didn't do anything wrong, and become defensive. You know, that's why, you know, Jesus, if you follow this through, even in the gospel where Jesus says, if you're bringing your gift to the altar and there you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, you go and be reconciled. So even in this case, if you didn't do anything, but the other did, then go and be reconciled. If they listen, then you won them over. So mm-hmm. it's always our initiative to go and work with our neighbor to try to bring them to a better life. The story goes on, if they won't listen, if they harden their hearts against that admonition, then bring a witness. Jesus, of course, is trying to speak of a community. He's building a community. You know, one of the things to recognize here is that the sense of individualism is so strong in our present context of society that we've lost a sense of community. When Jesus is speaking here in this gospel, he's trying to maintain the beauty of the community. We need to rediscover what it means to be communal, what it means to be that we're a community of people or a community of parents, not just me. And God, you know, salvation is communal. It comes through the help of others. We need each other. So bring the witness with you. If you refuse to listen to them, then tell the church. It becomes a public matter of the church. If they won't even listen to the church, in other words, the hardness has become so difficult, so hard for that person, is to treat them like a Gentile or tax collector. My interpretation of that would be that he's not trying to be hard in the sense that throw him out. Right. But sometimes we need to be on the periphery a little bit, on the outside, to know what we're missing. If one has experienced the beauty of forgiveness, of love, of community, and they're so hardened at this time, maybe kind of on your own for a while and to see what it's like to be by yourself and on your own would probably help. So he's certainly not trying to keep people apart. The main thing for a community in this sense is to not harden their heart against that person. And that's where being together, praying together, can certainly help to not turn ourselves against that person, but want them back and welcome them back if they're able to change and to reform themselves with God's grace in that, and to continue to pray for that.
Right. And there was, I thought it was interesting too, in this gospel, it said, you know, either way, whatever you decide, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So whatever your actions are here, that's what those actions are, that's what the reaction or that's what's going to happen in heaven.
Right, but of course...
being literal.
Yes, if you're being literal about it. But the other thing to know that the church is always to show God's mercy.
Right.
If a person has hardened themselves so much that they cannot, will not, whatever it is, change their heart, even with God's grace, even with the prayers and the love, that's really their own doings, their own choice, you might say,
right,
to refuse God's love, to refuse the mercy and forgiveness of a community. So to bind on earth and to loose in heaven is to really to have always in mind the mercy of God, and to be a channel, to be an agent of that, an instrument of God's love and mercy.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Bishop, for the reflection on the gospel. We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we are going to talk with Bishop in regards to Hurricane Harvey. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
Catholic Charities of Corpus Christi is still in need of items to aid the Hurricane Harvey recovery. Here are some of the items needed in that effort: cleaning supplies, peanut butter, crackers, Clorox, mops, pet food, baby wipes, work gloves, mosquito spray, and lots of it, rakes, shovels, towels, first aid kits, canned food, non-perishable milk, industrial-sized trash bags, storage boxes, Walmart, HEB, and gasoline gift cards. Distribution points are in operation for the most needy in the northern portions of the diocese at parish church locations. Donations can be dropped off at the Catholic Charities office, 615 Oliver Court, Monday through Thursday, 7:30 a.m. till 5 p.m. For more information, call Catholic Charities, 361-884-0651, or go to their website, catholiccharities-cc.org, and make your donation. Thank you, and God bless.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Well, Bishop, as we mentioned in the beginning of the program, it's been a pretty interesting week for many people, and I think for the most part, Corpus Christi, we had electrical problems and tree branches down and our fences and roofs,
and
yes.
Electricity,
and,
as you said, yes. Yeah. Water damage.
And KLUX was our friend during the storm.
Yeah.
But how did the churches do in the hard-hit areas? Rockport, Port A, Aransas Pass, Fulton, how were those?
Well, again, let me say that there was some damage here. I'm talking about the churches, of course. When I talk about the outlying areas that were hit the hardest, it's also, you know, the neighborhoods also to see things. As someone told me the other night, I was talking to one of the priests, and he said he was hit hard, but when he drove from Aransas Pass to Fulton, I mean, his heart really was breaking because it was just so much destruction in the neighborhoods, and people's lives are so much disturbed and challenged. But again, here in the city of Corpus Christi, there were certainly roofing problems, water, loss of electricity, windows, some windows out, fences down. So the regular things that we see happening in the neighborhoods also happened in some of the churches. Now, some were spared quite a bit. I was amazed that the cathedral stood like a rock, and our offices kind of stood there. But others had some damage, and the main thing was the lack of power for many. And it was amazing how one part of the city gets it and then the other doesn't. And
neighbors, I got my power. My neighbor across the street, it was the following day.
So those are always stories that everybody would like to share and does share. Last night I was in Port Aransas at the church, and they've had some damage with the roof and certainly some water in some of the buildings and other damaged things. So they've suffered those damages as well. Ingleside, kind of moving up the coast, Ingleside was not as bad. It was amazing. If you've seen the church, it's kind of like a concrete fortress. It stood, and there's always damages here and there. Aransas Pass had some significant damage, again, roof and water damage. When I visited there, the tiles inside the hall and others are kind of bulging with water, just waiting for somebody to boast out.
Oof,
and
yeah.
A loss of trees, again, that's also here in the city. And then just that road between Aransas Pass and Rockport is just heartbreaking. And, of course, the neighborhoods that are there and people's homes, it's really tough, you know, to see. It looks like a war zone in some areas. Some trailers, RVs that
right.
people have had there, just on their upside down,
flipped over
from the wheels to the roof.
Mm.
Just sitting there, boats all over the place, damage, water. So this is at the beginning when I first went out there to the hardest hit places. Then I went to Rockport and to Sacred Heart, and Father Earless was there. So we went in together to the buildings, and they have what's called the old convent, which is the office building, and the roof was pretty much ripped off. We went through the building, and it's you just cannot imagine it. I mean, pictures are one thing, but to see insulation from inside the walls ripped out and just plastered on walls and the ceilings and floors because it's wet at that time, and it's just looked like, I mean, you can't describe it.
Yeah.
The school there in Rockport, Sacred Heart, was quite damaged internally. With water and desks just kind of moved from one end of the classroom to the other. And you
floated
just can't
away,
imagine. You cannot imagine the power of God's created wind, you know, mm-hmm. and the water damage. But they're working with the a company that's putting it back together. So we hope in a few months to be back open. Amazingly, the church and the house where the priest lives was not as, there were a few things, but not damage. And the parish is adding on an entry, kind of a northex, and that was spared. So that was good. So it did get hit pretty hard, especially that one building, and then the school. But the others we're moving ahead. And some of the hall, they have a couple of halls there, and they've had some damage. The hard thing is also that the vegetation. I mean, just to see these beautiful trees in the area
mm-hmm.
just wiped out. And,
mm-hmm.
But others, I know that Rockport was hard hit. Businesses, some neighborhoods that we drove through, just it's, you know, really to pray for them and to be with them. I was there at the very beginning of that, so there really weren't many people
right.
around.
Back.
Then going to Fulton, which is in the same area of Rockport. There's a church there called St. Peter's, which is a Vietnamese community, and the walls of the church were just blown open. I mean, it's like you can walk right through it.
Oh, my gosh.
The roof was taken off in many sections. Again, that insulation that you have between the walls, I mean, it's just like somebody just took, a popcorn gun or something, just splattered this stuff all over. The pews were turned upside down, microphones all over the place.
They got the storm surge?
Yes, yeah. They did. And the hall, parts of the roof were ripped off. The house where the priest lives was, literally the refrigerator was moved from against the wall to the middle of the room.
Yeah.
You just can't imagine. The TV, of course, thrown across the room. Mm-hmm. I mean, the power of the wind. We also visited Lamar, but now there again, and this is the amazing thing, a tiny little wooden church that's over 100 years old, not a scratch.
Oh, my goodness.
Not a scratch. Just absolute. Stella Maris, it's called.
It's right by the cemetery, isn't it, if I remember?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right,
all right.
Right. Not a scratch.
Oh, my gosh.
At least that we saw. We haven't heard anything mm-hmm. from them. And then we went to the Schoenstatt Retreat Center there with mm-hmm. the sister, about 22 sisters there.
Mm-hmm.
They had heavy damage. Part of the roof of the shrine, of the Schoenstatt Shrine, was taken off, a side of it, a part of it, one side. An entire, probably a third of the brick on the convent building, which is a two and a half story, three-story building, it was just kind of like sucked off. And beautiful trees, just gone, gone.
I visited that during the Year of Mercy and saw the door. Now I can visualize what you're talking about, that little chapel.
Yeah, so they've had water damage there and a couple of other smaller buildings that were, they'll have to take them away. They're uninhabitable now. Bayside, I went there, and of course the church was not badly damaged, but I made my way to the community center and met the people, some of the people that were there picking up supplies, and just we really wanted them to know that we're there to help, and with all the first responders and help people that are already helping, that we just want to join in and be there also for the long term. I went to Woodsboro, St. Teresa's Parish in Woodsboro. And the other thing I just want to recognize is we had such a beautiful cotton crop this year throughout the coastal bend. But it was just heartbreaking to see some of that those bales just torn apart. The cotton just spread all over and, of course, ruined.
Of course.
I'm not a farmer, but I appreciate it. And it's it was just so the ones that are rolled in a roll seem to have fared better. The kind of oblong ones that are have a tarp over them. The tarps were torn off and just soaked with water. But the parish in Woodsboro also was badly damaged. The roof and the rectory where the priest lives and those. I remember my first impression years ago, 7 years ago, when I first arrived here. I went for confirmation there, and just I love trees and those beautiful oak trees. I think they're oak. Just gone, and there were crews from San Antonio, and if they're listening, I want to thank them. I met them there. It's in Woodsboro, but from Canyon Lake and New Braunfels with their chainsaws just taking those trees down because they were just cut in half and broken and just to protect people. So, this next week, I'll be visiting in Tivoli and Oswell. I've been in contact with them, and our people have been up there as well, and also to Refugio. But I've been in conversation with Father Bill and Marquis, and they still don't have power as of last Thursday. So they're hoping to get it restored. So I'll get up there next week to visit with them too. But been in contact with all the priests.
And all the priests are all right?
Oh, yes. Everybody's fine. Okay. You know, of course, everybody's, I'm sure, in shell shock. But but what we've done here, the diocese, just so that you let you know, I mean, after about the second day, when we were back in the office, everything was just hitting. And I just realized that no one person can do this. So I asked Deacon Mark Arnold, who's on our staff, to kind of put his present job aside for a little bit and be the disaster relief coordinator. So we've really come together as a diocesan community with Catholic Charities, the Knights of Columbus, Catholic Daughters, and everybody just kind of funneling needs through that office with Deacon Mark, funneling it through him, and then he's also able to match up the volunteers. We also have Deacon Richard Longoria, who's coordinating volunteers, staying in touch with the local communities, not just the parishes, but the communities, the civil communities that are there, trying to get the needs and the volunteers so that we can all work together to bring back normalcy as soon as possible. But it's a job. Been in touch a couple of times with the bishops of Texas. We've had conference calls together.
Of course, Houston.
Which Corpus Christi, Victoria, Houston, and Beaumont got badly hit, Port Arthur. So those four dioceses along the coast, we're all talking, and the other bishops are certainly helping us. Thursday night we had an hour of prayer with adoration in the cathedral, and many of the parishes were doing the same. So the needs are still there. There was a national collection that was taken up throughout the U.S. To help assist. So we're very, very grateful for everyone's cooperation. I've received letters and emails, phone calls from classmates of mine from Connecticut mm-hmm. to Louisiana, which got a little bit, mm-hmm. Lake Charles. So throughout the U.S., we've gotten people just calling in and wanting to help. So we're very, very grateful. And amazingly, and I want to conclude with this, but so many people have been able, through the tragedy and the hurt and the pain that's there, to see a glimmer of hope and to mm-hmm. see the beauty of people helping others, the beauty of charity and love, forgiveness. I've met some right. people that came to that. And so it's just a, you know, some way in God's way sets the stage for us to bring out what's the best in the human person. And I have to say that our area has really rallied to the challenge. And so I'm grateful to everyone and proud of everyone that we can live our faith and our human connection, all of us together. And so continue to pray for everyone, especially those who have lost.
Bishop, before we end, if for any of our listeners out there that do want to either give resources or time, volunteer time, who should they get in touch with?
Well, we have a website, of course, on our diocesan website. All right. There's links, and or you can call the diocese and ask that, just say you'd like to volunteer, and they'll connect you with Deacon Mark.
Kind of plug us in. Okay.
And he's got staff there that are taking notes. And
wonderful.
We'll connect you.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much, Bishop, for the update.
Thank you, and God bless everyone.
Yes. If you could end our session this morning with a prayer and a blessing.
Lord God, you have redeemed us through your Son, Jesus Christ, and who has adopted us to be your children. Help us to live in true freedom and to long for the inheritance you give to us through him. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. And may Almighty God bless each one here who is listening and all those who have been affected by Hurricane Harvey. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for listening to us this Sunday morning. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.